Welcome to Michigan Ice Guys, podcasting to help you fish hard water better.
Hey guys, welcome back. It's the MI Ice Guys, and hey, there is getting to be ice in Michigan. It is a great time of the year. We're going to get this sport kicked in the butt and get going this year.
Early, hopefully.
Yeah, early. I mean, here we are, the first week of December, and there's rumors. We've got guys up north that are getting onto channels and some little lakes and things like that. And, Cam's in studio with us today. He's going to chime in once in a while.
He's feisty. Yeah.
Our littlest fisherman, young Rodriguez over there. But anyway, we've got Jake in studio and Steph, and Cam brought his dad, Anthony, to join in. And we're going to talk a little ice safety. One of the big things that I know a lot of you think you know it all, but we want to give you a little reminder because we don't want to lose anybody during the season with what's going on. So one of the biggest things that are out there that you kind of want to always do is some basic stuff. Number one, don't go alone.
No, never go alone on the ice. Always have a partner with you or a buddy.
Yeah, especially early ice, because the springs, the weed beds, they can all make soft spots real fast, and you don't want to be that statistic going through on those thin spots. So bring in a buddy, that's the first thing. The second thing that we all strongly recommend are the floating suits. Having that or some form of PFD is a big deal, especially on early ice. Now, most of us, we have some striker suits, and they're good floating. Steph, you got a couple of floating suits now, don't you?
Yeah, I got one of the Arctic brands.
And, you know, that's one of the important things to carry. But another thing that we both carry, and I know that a lot of us do, is a rescue rope.
Yeah, throw ropes.
Throw rope. And don't make that thing too short, because you want to be able to get back in away from the struggling idiot that went through the ice because he wasn't spudding his way out, and toss it across the hole. Throwing it across the hole, everybody's seen somebody go in. They're going to flail their arms all over. Well, with any luck, they're even going to get tangled up in the rope, and you're going to be able to pull them out. So it's one of those things that I really recommend to carry, especially during early ice, to have a throw rope with you.
Yeah, even a throwable PFD as well. You can attach the rope to that, and it'll give you something to throw.
Boat cushion, floating boat cushions, all those kinds of things are good things to have along with you on the ice. Other simple things, picks. And the picks, especially early ice, I like to run them through my sleeves rather than zipping them up in a pocket.
Because they're there when you need them.
They're there when you need them. And having to unzip a pocket and remember what pocket they're in. Hello, bottom of the lake, you're under the ice, you're screwed, you're dead. They'll find you in the spring. Unless they call the sheriff's department to get you out so you don't become structure.
That's one thing I liked about that Frabel suit that we did get, is that it had the spikes attached to the chest.
Yeah,
there.
Right, yeah, the Frabel had them right on the chest. That was a really good feature, and I haven't seen anybody else do that.
I like to forget things sometimes, so having them like attached to the suit is like a good thing.
Sometimes?
Maybe even bait on tournament day?
I mean, you should have seen him at the Worlds in Finland. He goes storming into the zone without his auger.
Oh. And don't tell Jake this story.
he gets
in the zone, and it's like, you might want this.
I'm like, Anthony. He's like, what? What the hell?
I'm like, what do you want, Chaz? I'm getting the zone here.
I'm like, you might need this. And I'm holding up his auger, and he's like, oh yeah,
sorry.
Thanks.
My bad, brother.
I might need that.
But it was, you want to remember.
You were just going to plan on stealing holes the whole time.
I know.
I probably would have did better.
I don't need no stinking auger.
Yeah. Well,
too soon.
But, bear in mind this safety stuff. The picks are a great thing for self-rescue. The rope, one of the things that I'm a big fan of is the sled. Everybody's dragging a sled out there of some sort. Steph and I, we both put the ropes on both ends of the sled, so that we can, number one, it makes it nicer lowering it down a hill, because it always seems like the steep embankment's where you got to go in.
Or at the launch.
Yeah.
Where you're walking in.
So, but you can use the sled and the ropes on it to rescue somebody, too. I know when I started ice fishing, my grandfather told you, wow, Cam, said that, you know, what you do is you lay down on the ice and you reach your auger out to him. I'm like, wow. You know, mine's got a Milwaukee drill on one end and razor sharp blades to go sushi machine in on the other end. You don't want to. I don't think that's what we want to use to reach out there. So a rope is a better thing. For those of you guys that aren't, I know there's always in every crowd the Carhartt guy that says, hey, my Carhartts are great. I don't need one of those fancy ice suits. I'm telling you, Carhartts are the biggest sponge out there. I mean, we all own them, and we've all got them wet. Hopefully, you know, not in an emergency situation, because they suck up water and take like 4 or 5 days to dry.
Keep them for the garage.
Keep them for the garage and the barn, man. That's where Carhartts belong. Mm-hmm. Even the beer festivals, they work good. But the ice suit, the modern ice suit, has better wind protection, more
waterproof,
pockets,
yeah,
water resistant, and the good ones float. So that's a great safety thing. Jake, what other safety items you usually carry?
Besides the PFDs, always carry rope. Also carry a flotation device for my quad, essentially, when we're going out on the ice. What I'd like to say is not only in first ice, but during middle of the season, we've also had people fall in during tournament time.
Yeah.
So it's good ice. There's never good ice. It's always a risk, and it's always a safety
always
hazard.
That chance.
There's always that chance. So,
yeah, as you're spudding your way out, you know, it's 3-4 good whacks. It makes you feel more comfortable with the spud. But I remember when we were in Ukraine, and I was pretty sure that Anthony was feeling blessed with his floating suit, because the ice was sinking. When he was fishing, it was crazy.
There was so much current there, I'm not sure it would have mattered, but it was a nice peace of mind.
Yeah.
They could have saved you in, what, 30 seconds, though? That's all you had to hold your breath for? How fast was it for you to fall under and then them rescue you?
Probably longer than that.
Yeah. They did it. That
like
was the 30, year they...
40 minutes, maybe.
Yeah, that was the year that they brought out the first year we saw inflatable boats on the ice, and guys in wetsuits ready to dive in and rescue you. And we're all looking at them like, they ain't going in.
No.
Oh, he found the fishing poles.
Nobody would.
That yeah. They're always there.
Training them young.
Training them young. Cameron is getting his... interest peaked by all the stuff that we have in the studio.
There's a fishing pole in the room. He'll find it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So early ice, all through the ice, you know, bye-bye. Quads, bye-bye. 6-7 inches of ice before you want to talk about getting your quad out there. You know, 4 inches of ice, probably a safe bet for before you start venturing out walking.
Yeah, but constantly check it, because the further you get out from shore, the thinner it gets on those bigger lakes, the basin lakes like we fish up north.
Right, and also there's the always the chance of springs and other things that are going on.
Yep.
Weed patches are dark. They can make thin ice, or where the idiot dropped his quad through.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I probably another thing is when we're walking, it's always nice to spread out a little bit and distribute the weight.
Yeah.
You know? So
what are you trying to say?
Two big guys real close together.
So yeah. Well, another thing that on first ice that we always do is we always spread out a little bit more than we normally do, or if we get excited and want to rush over to see a fish, depending on how much of a chance it is to fall in.
I know. Some of those early ice days, it's like only one person runs to the tip up at a time.
Yes.
Not two. Too much of a wave.
Yeah. Well, you know, luckily you have the smallest partner, Jake, so
yeah.
Yes.
We'll send her to go out there
she
and get it.
She always goes first anyway.
Glad to hear it. Well, you know, guys, get your kit together. Go through as you're getting your stuff together, putting the stuff in your sled. make sure you got some safety stuff in there. One last point that I really like to enforce is the dry clothes that you keep in the truck. I'm not a fan of jeans. I'm a fan of sweatpants and sweatshirt. They're wicking. They pull the moisture away, and they slide on over your legs, and a crappy pair of house slippers. You know, as you're standing there naked on the boat ramp, changing out of your wet clothes.
Which you should do.
Yeah. Get out of those wet clothes, throw them in the back of the pickup truck, and get the dry ones on and drive home because you're done.
Yep.
And that's end of the day.
Yeah, and if you happen to be out there and you find some good ice, post it on our ice map online.
Yeah, miiceguys.com, the ice map is up and going, as well as the opportunity to ask an MI Ice Guy. And it will email out the bunch of us. I think we're going to add Jake to that so that he can answer some questions out there too. But we're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we're going to talk some early season tactics and hopefully get you on some fish.
Guys, when you're out on the ice, do you protect your eyes? The MI Ice Guys have partnered with Costa Del Mar sunglasses. Made in America, made by hand. The thinnest glass technology for sunglasses. 100% UV protection. We love our Costas so much, we took them to Finland, to the worlds. They allowed us to see where other people had been drilling before, protected our eyes in the blowing snow, and kept us looking good on the ice. Made in America, Costa Del Mar sunglasses. Get them online, get them at a local retailer near you. Remember, tell them the MI Ice Guys sent you, and you need the best.
All right, guys, we've been having some fun on the break. Cam has got a fishing pole. He's got his working on his jig cadence on his dad's head over there. Hey, we're back to talk about some early ice tactics. Now, one of the things that we like to do is, in those days of fall when it's you get a nice day once in a while, take the boat out and do a little research. Get out on that lake, figure out where the structures are. We all have, electronics. Steph's boat's got a great side scan. I like to ride along, bring the beer. And we will go GPS out our favorite lakes and pick out some spots. And make note of those so that in the winter when it...
Yeah, we can drop them on our Navionics app, and then we can walk early season, quad, late season to them.
Yeah, go
check
right
those
to
late
them.
Season weed beds.
And if you fish some of the places, like I know when we go up to Hardy and Croton, that's moving water, and different things appear different years. You know, trees come down, and stumps move around on the bottom, and different things happen. So it is good to go take another look every year.
Yeah, we had some good storms come up this year.
Yeah, we did. And, you know, with all that big water moving, it changes things. So doing some research out there really leads to, even before early ice, how your tactics are going to be. Because when the weed bed's there in the fall, it's going to still be there at first ice. So, you know, well, let's start off with weed beds. You know, how do you fish a weed bed early season? What's your go-to tactic on it, Jake?
Go-to tactic on a weed bed. The greener the weeds, the more fuller the weeds, that's where you tend to find them. So every once in a while you'll have a situation where you have to use your auger to drill out sections of weed beds and then let that settle, and then fish will come into there if it's really thick. Or if it's not really thick, I like to camera most of my weed beds and then find where they're kind of hanging out at and where things are growing off of them, and, you know, turns into a biology class really quickly. But so I would say if they're green and they're up, they're holding fish.
Cool. Now, do you work the outside edges of them, or do you work right into the weeds?
I would probably start on the outside, depending on what species I go for. Usually in the weeds, I take my camera. I don't just put it sideways. I turn it up so that you can see fish silhouetted against the ice, because sometimes it's hard to see those fish actually in the weeds. So I'll turn my camera up and then go right to the bottom and see if I can see anything.
Yeah. Cool. Now, Steph, what's your go-to on first approach on a weed bed?
Early season weed beds, I like to start shallow and work out to the edge where the drop-off is, and inside corners and points, and do the cammering and make sure the fish are there. and just drill lots of holes.
Drill lots of holes, yeah.
Cover water.
Now,
you might find new weed beds that...
Yeah.
Not so much new weed beds, but you'll find weed beds that are holding... Some weed beds are going to hold fish better than others.
Right, right.
For sure.
Now, Anthony, he keeps getting his eyes real bright when we start talking about some of these subjects because I know that he and Chad have their own personal tactics in on some of these things. You going to share any of those with us today?
Yeah, you know, when I find a weed bed, I like to run the edge of it. I want to know how big it is. You know, I want to know how big it is and are there surrounding weed beds. So I guess I typically always would like to start on the outside. Plus, I feel like I like to play to our strength a little bit, and I feel like that's fishing a little bit deeper. So if we can find a deep edge that's holding a good amount of fish, I believe the outside deep edge are the travel areas as well. So, you know, I think fish, when they're pressured, like to roll out deep. So if you can find one of those spots to say where they come from instead of where they're going, I think you can do a lot better.
Cool. Yeah,
Cam's
always in agreement on those weed bed tactics. But one of the big things that I've noticed with some of the guys is that the mistake I see them, and you kind of alluded to it, Jacob, they're disturbing the weed bed a bit. Maybe they're running the auger in, you know,
too deep.
You only got to just get, especially around weed beds, you want to just get close. And, not just get through the ice. You don't need to be doing it. And another thing, a suggestion I have is don't back flush the holes over weed beds. You know, reversing the auger is a great way to get rid of your slush. But you know, you're gonna stir up the bottom on a weed bed because you're talking shallow.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these weed beds we're doing aren't necessarily in 30 feet. We're talking 6-8 feet of water most of the time.
They can be 3-4 feet. Real shallow.
Well, we found fish in Madison. How deep was that? 2 feet? 3 feet?
Yeah.
So, like, you could stick your fishing pole and touch the bottom.
Yeah.
That's how. So you can't be driving an auger into the ground. They scatter when that happens.
It was the same thing in Antioch as well. It was, I mean, just the shallower you would go. I'd actually never seen anything like that. The shallower you'd go, you'd still find fish. It was crazy. You'd be up in 6 inches of water, and you still see fish on your camera.
Right.
I don't know.
Places that they never even looked for.
Yeah, it was a weird deal. They were deep. They were shallow. They were in the middle zone. I got a good fishery out there.
So you know, guys, we've been talking about the cameras a little bit, and they're coming to be more prevalent as we're progressing in the thing. And not everybody has a camera, but if you do, I would recommend that you spend some time on it. Now, I know that you guys, when you're practicing and pre-fishing for a tournament, I watch the days when you barely get the poles out. It's drill and camera.
Lame.
I probably don't fish other than Sundays, to be honest with you.
Just camera and researching?
Yeah. I'll burn through my camera battery.
Burn the camera battery, burn the flasher battery.
We probably fish more than the average team, I would say.
Oh, you definitely do. Yeah.
Yeah, I've noticed that...
We also get them dialed in from like 11 to 2 better than anybody else, I think.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. You guys and Myron.
That's because we don't get out there till 10:30.
Yeah.
So
that's a Shab thing. So
Shab's got to have breakfast. And
he's not here, so we can throw him under the boat.
10 more minutes, Chad.
Yeah. You got to sleep in and then...
If things are cost prohibitive for you, I would recommend get the flasher first and then down the line get a camera. But I'll do the flasher first thing.
Yeah, flasher's going to help you, you know, locate the fish. And when you get good with the flasher and you can see your jig coming to the fish and you can see how the fish react to it, it really helps you in your tactics.
And some lakes late season will still have green weeds. There are certain weeds that do thrive in the wintertime, and those are going to hold the oxygen and the last of the remaining fish a lot of times. They'll be held there.
Right. So we got any other, what else we talked weed beds early ice, what other tactics we got?
This might not be as strong as an early ice, but also we do pay attention to water temperature. So the water temperature, whether that be on a camera or, I know I used to use like a little thermometer and drop it down with a little weight and hold it there for 30 seconds or so and pull it up. if you can find good pockets of warm water, that will also hold fish.
Now, what are you calling warm?
Well,
you know, 36.
Yeah, just a few degrees can actually mean a huge difference. You're right. If I tend to look for anything, you know, if you can find anything, it depends on the season. When it's really late and it's really cold, the water column starts cooling down quite a bit. But in the early season, it's no big deal to find, you know, 38.5 or above, you know, on a good pocket.
Right. And, you know, most people don't realize that the warmer water typically is closer to the bottom.
Yep.
Because, well, let's face it, the ice is making it cold on top. And, you know, the ground on the bottom is warmer, and it's going to keep that water a little bit warmer. And that's why you get a lot of the species that will go down deep on it and stuff, instead of being right up underneath the ice. But we've all seen those crazy days, too.
Yeah.
So. Well, guys, when we're going to take another short break, and when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about what's coming up in the year for tournaments, and maybe even talk about some of the crazy stuff we got planned. So we'll be right back with the MIA Ice, guys. Don't forget, check out the website with the ice map. If you don't put any ice thicknesses in, they ain't going to get there.
Hey, guys. Chaz here from the MIA Ice, guys. I want to talk to you about K&E Stopper Lures, especially the Scandia line of tungsten jigs. I've been having a great time fishing with these this year and last year. The new colors are awesome. Check them out. Get out there to your local sporting goods shop and look for that blue packaging with yellow text on it. Pick up a Scandia lure or 10. It's a whole lot of fun to fish with. They're bright, they're durable, and good stuff.
Guys, we're back, and we're going to talk a little bit of tournament outlook for this year. Now, we were doing a little poking around on Facebook and trying to figure out if anybody's got any listings for the local tournaments, and I haven't found too many listings yet.
No, not yet.
That stuff. But the NAIFC schedule, that is posted out there on the website, and looks like a couple of new lakes this year that back to some of the old friends ones again that we're going to be visiting yet for like every year.
He's excited
for the tournament. Yeah, we're just waiting for Anthony to start taking him on tour with him.
Oh yeah,
he's got a couple years. When Chad decides he takes Bri, then maybe I'll start taking Cam.
Yeah, there you go. It'd be just like the Waters, you know, when they
just
pair
one
up.
One difference.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's no Baldwin on that team.
They're better than we are, so.
Yeah. But anyway, you know, guys, there are some tournaments in Michigan that NAIFC is coming in on February 17th, and we're all going to be up there. In fact, Steph and I are going to be actually the organizers on that one because our good friend Jack Baker's got other obligations, family obligations.
Yeah, needs a hand.
Needs a hand, so we're going to go haul his trailer up there and try and help out by running that event for him. But that's a very interesting one. Steph and I fished that one last year, as well as all the other guys had their teams there. And it was a very, very interesting thing for me to see in all the pre-fishing that went on. The guys that were roaming the lakes and checking everywhere, cameras, fishing, you name it, they were on the lake.
Running all over the place. They covered every square inch of that lake.
And if it wouldn't have been for that one day when it all got wet, that, you know, you would have seen holes everywhere. But we got one day of warm-up, and there was water on the ice, and that kind of erased all the holes.
Luckily.
And then we had another day when it was a blizzard that was very crazy. But one of the important things about these tournaments is pre-fishing. Now, the one that's coming up next is the 2018 championship, and that's coming up on the 15th and 16th, and it's in Minnesota this year at Pinehurst Resort.
Yeah.
And Anthony, when are you guys leaving to go?
I believe we're leaving Monday.
Okay. So
no, we're actually leaving Saturday, I believe.
Basically this weekend, take a day to drive out there
Sandbagger.
Get out there. Oh, Cam wants to play the... He's doing the Chad Schaub on the microphone stand today. But, you know, the pre-fishing game, you guys are going to be out there for about a week. You know, checking the lake, make sure you're all GPS points. They're still where they are.
Two lakes this year. Steph came out there last year with us.
North and South Twin.
Yep. The North Lake fish is completely different than the South Lake. It's a it's a really fun, it's a fun tournament. Speaking of St. Helen, South Lake fish is almost identical to St. Helen. So it's a kind of a, it was a weird situation after we fished the championship. We stepped on St. Helen and it was just kind of helped you figure out the pattern once you realized what lake it fished like. So it's a great tournament. I'd really like the fact that you don't even have to start your truck the whole time you're there. There's a, you know, everything's right there in town. You can drive to it, both lakes. You literally don't have to get in your truck at all. Unless you don't put your lug nuts on the right way.
What are you talking about with lug nuts?
Steph, you want to elaborate on that one?
Oh, Schaub changed the tire on the trailer where to pack the bearings. And when he put it back on, he didn't put the cone side in. He had the flat side. So about 10 miles from the resort, we heard this rattling noise, and that's what it was that wheel about ready to come off.
The lug nuts gone. And
Although the rim was all just chewed to pieces.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
So we took it over to a place.
Yeah, we had to ride the quads and everything out down the road there. It was quite the start to the ice fishing season.
Did he put on his minion helmet?
I'm not sure if we rode helmets or not.
I don't know. They wore. He took mine because mine's got the face shield.
Yeah, right. Oh,
Anthony
yeah,
was
right.
Without.
Yeah, that
and
was
it was bitter
cold. I remember that. I had a headstock on at least, but that thing froze solid on me.
Yeah. Well, you know, I do have a couple extra helmets. We should talk.
Yeah, we should talk. And I should have bought some.
Yeah.
In fact, I'm going to go home and order one. Well, and Schaub's going to be jealous.
Jealous. Oh, man. Now, Jake, did you fish championship last year?
I did not. Nope.
You going this year?
Nope. Not going this year.
Yeah, I don't know. This guy's with real jobs.
Yeah. Not enough vacation days to do the world overseas and then to come back and do the whole circuit. And
Steph and I can't quite make it out either. We've got to hold on these real jobs. You can't go professional ice fishing all winter like some of our friends.
Unfortunately, yes.
But now, some of the other things that are going on, we actually run our own little event around the first of the year. Anthony, do we have any more information on Rage in the Cage this year?
We do not, but I am going to do a couple this year, I think. I think there's going to be one at the St. Helen event, maybe Saturday. I think we could really talk and get that going.
Yeah.
And then Brett actually was talking about having one down in Illinois, I think is where he's from.
Yeah.
Yeah, one down there. He's got a private lake or something that's, like, just incredible with giant bluegills, giant crappies.
Oh, we'll jump in the trucks.
I think that would be a great time. So I'm going to actually send him a message tonight or tomorrow and see what's up with that. He sounded really excited about it in Kazakhstan, so...
Yeah, that would be awesome. The Rage in the Cage tournament that we do here in Michigan the past couple of years, really it's a practice session for our guys that are training for the world team, and it's an exposure thing for a lot of our other local guys to kind of get a feel of the pressure of the speed rounds that we do to train for the palm rod fishing that we do overseas. And Steph and I, we've kind of helped with the organizational and officiating portion of it and got the guys down there. I remember, I think you've done it both years, haven't you, Jake?
Yeah, I've been in the first year, but not the second year.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I remember that first year you got a big old perch.
Yeah.
Everybody's catching little dinks, and Jake pulls out a monster perch. That was pretty impressive.
Yeah, too bad it only counted as one.
Yeah, it was not a weight round.
That is something I really want to do. If we can get enough people to help out, I would love to do a weight round. It's going to take an incredible amount of people, but we're going to need 4 or 5 people just to run the buckets back and forth. So
yeah.
Well, plus with the DNR stopping out, which is a good thing. You know, I just don't want to be over and have a bunch of dead fish in a hole. So
right. Yeah, the DNR did visit us last year. and
not have stickers on your quad.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Or helmets.
Helmets and yeah, it was.
We all have the stuff, just didn't have it.
They were doing their job.
Bring it.
Exactly.
Oh yeah.
Can't hate there.
So you guys stay tuned, and you know we'll be talking more about the Rage in the Cage and upcoming episodes. We're gonna do our best to find out when there's some of the small tournaments around Michigan. You know, it's kind of fun to go out there and compete once in a while. We'll also be keeping you up to date on the travels that the, you know, Chad and Anthony are gonna. Yeah. How many tournaments do you guys think you're doing this year?
I think we're doing all but two. So
all but the two way out west.
Yep. Well, no, we're doing Okoboji, but we're not doing Montana or
Metagoshi.
Metagoshi's not one on there. Okay. No. And the Redstone.
Oh yeah.
It's because they'll be in Bulgaria.
Yep.
For both of them, actually.
Right.
But back to the Rage in the Cage thing. We will have a little bit of sponsorship help this year. Lucky John is going to help out a little bit with that.
Smooth.
So we'll have some stuff, at least some gear and stuff like that this year, but maybe a little bit better stuff next year as well.
Yeah, I know we got some jigs coming from K&E for that. And, okay, sweet. Probably a couple other items I think we have.
Perfect. We'll do some raffle and some giveaway stuff,
too. I do think for practicing for Worlds, that's the best situation to be in when trying to get ready for Worlds, you know what I mean?
Either trying to get ready for Worlds or if you're just curious on trying out or making it on the world team.
Or seeing what it's like. I know I did it right before tryouts the first year I made it, and it was, hey, your intensity has to pick up by 10 because this is the situation we're in. And you also get to learn the rules, and you get to learn 15 feet. And so there's a lot that goes on that is very beneficial for somebody who just wants to see, you know, what it's like or the fast pace action.
Yeah, and we hold that one just north of Grand Rapids. We've got a couple of lakes that we can go to that we usually scout out and pick out which one's going to work best for us. And go have some fun on the lake for a day, but you plan on being there the whole day.
Yeah.
It's
we're going to do a few different heats. You know, heats can be anywhere between an hour to 2 hours and maybe even a three-hour heat if we do a weight tournament. And, you know, plan on not catching giants, but catching a lot of fish. A good pace would be, you know, 60 to 70 fish an hour, you know. So expect to catch a lot of fish. Like I said, not huge, but a lot of fun.
And that's mostly not to just because we can't get on big fish, but it's also because overseas, that's kind of what it's, you know, nature too is,
yeah,
is the pace and the fast action.
Well, and it also takes a lot more skill to hook small fish consistently than... And it's more exciting than waiting around for the one big fish,
yep,
kind of thing.
Yep.
So
but it is still a weight tournament overseas too. So yeah, you know, you gotta.
If you get that big perch in there like Jake did, you know, that can be a great kicker.
Yeah.
And
right, I'll have four or five crappies, so hopefully that catches them.
Mr. Kicker, that's weird.
Yeah.
Mr. Kicker has a bluegill.
All no, right.
It's a big perch.
Well, guys, we're going to come back and wrap the show up with a short segment and just talk about some new things that we've seen out in the market this year.
Hey, remember to stop on out to miiceguys.com and report the ice thickness where you're fishing. Help us all out in knowing where there's safe ice. Check out the map online at miiceguys.com.
Hey, guys, Schmoes now has two locations. 2600 Patterson here in Grand Rapids and 109 West Mitchell in Petoskey now. So when you're up north, you can grab some Schmoes as well. Remember, you can get all your favorites, Bone Crusher, Hot Knocker, Treasure Chest, Amber Tees, Michigan Hands Pale Ale, and India Pale Ale, or one of our great root beers. Once again, that's Grand Rapids and Petoskey. Engineering better Michigan beer.
Guys, we're back, and we're going to touch on some what's new this season, some new offerings that are out there, and Steph's got some stories about some new Ice Giver stuff that he's come up with, and I've actually got a couple of new things this year. So first off, we were down at the DNR show, and we saw some new things, some new offerings. There's some new tip-up stuff out there. Everybody seems to have new colors of jigs out there.
Some Myrate of Shanties.
Oh, Shanties galore. I saw lots. Eskimo, that big double wide that Eskimo has.
Yeah,
my God, the insulated thing is a monster. You could take Chad's whole family out there.
I don't have that big a family.
Well, your kids fight a lot, so.
Yeah. No, I don't.
Just as much as you and Anthony.
Oh, no.
Just do what Sarah says and you're good.
Definitely less.
But, you know, there was some other things. Steph fell in love with the new Garmin Live View.
Yeah, that thing's sweet.
It's a live
scope. Panoptics, live scope, yep.
And it's going to, poke it down and see a fish over there and put a waypoint and tell me where to walk to.
That'll revolutionize fishing. It was fantastic. But yeah. It has a fantastic price tag as well.
$2,000.
You still got to catch them.
you still got to catch them,
but this helps you find them.
You know,
I want to see how it works in weeds. Check it out. That'd be great.
We got a lot of sharp hooks, so we can give it a shot. You know,
fish where the fish are.
Yeah.
It's easier.
It's a lot easier, and stuff. Now, Steph, you've also done some modifications to the quad this year. You built a new rack.
Yeah, I built a new shanty rack. Pretty heavy duty, so we'll see how well that works out this year. It's my first one.
How big is it?
It'll hold the clam stealth thermal. So
on the back of your big Outlander, that ought to be quite the thing.
Chad's got one on the back of his now, too. So.
Oh, yeah.
He'll be ready to rock and roll.
Got a new front rack and back rack.
The Anthony weight rated?
Nothing's that strong. Chris sat in the shanty tub on the back rack, so it holds a good amount of weight.
That's considerable. Chris ain't no small feller.
It'd be close between him and Anthony. So Chris is like 300.
I don't think so. Actually,
Anthony might have him. Yeah, it's true.
Oh, good thing Anthony never listens to these podcasts.
I'm glad he's getting the table for us.
Yeah,
such a nice guy.
But, we did. We've been doing some projects, getting some things around. This afternoon, Steph and I, we refurbished an old Mora. We've got a kids' home that we've taken fishing a couple of times and we've talked about in the past. And they mentioned they don't have an auger. So we found an old Mora that we could revamp. And we spent some time this afternoon cleaning that up. And we're going to get the blades sharpened. We're going to be at Al and Bob's
tomorrow
on December 6th.
Yep.
We're going to be in there and do some seminar, and they're going to have a lot of great sales. So you guys probably listen to this on Thursday anyway. Just head over to Alan Bob's after work and check it out, man. They got a lot of great deals and things going on. You see anything else new out there, Chad, that you just couldn't resist?
I bought a handful of new jigs, the Fisca UVs. I don't know why, but
give them a try.
I needed a couple more.
They look good.
They look good. Yeah,
I think I bought like another dozen jigs or something small.
Oh, so you had restraint.
Yeah, they didn't have that many new colors.
Oh, okay. I didn't buy any new ones, but I got a whole box from K&E of new stuff that we're going to have to go through and take a look at. But, it's promising to be a good season. I saw a report that says that Mitchell and Lake Cadillac are almost walkable. We got a message from Chad's buddy Jessup that he's been out on the channels on Misaki.
The lakes by my house look like they're froze over, but they're not safe yet.
Yeah. And Chad lives up there off of 10, so he's over there almost to Ludington. So we're watching that ice real careful out there. I'm making diversions around to watch and see what's closed up on the small ponds here around Grand Rapids. You guys can help us out, too. We have an ice map on miiceguys.com where if you find ice, man, pop it out there. Let us know what's going on with it. All we ask is that you tell us that there's ice. You don't have to give us all your secrets. And let us know where it is because we may jump in the trucks and go. You know, Jake and I are itching. Chad, and he's got to head off to the championship this weekend with Anthony. Him and they're going to take off on their long road trip.
It's like 14 hours.
Yeah, just a day's drive.
Yeah.
Hop, skip, and a jump.
Yeah. Get
the
over
lake
there.
Wasn't in the way. It wouldn't be so bad.
Yeah,
well, got to go up and around.
Yeah, we're going up and around.
But we got a lot of things coming. Steph and I are
nicer ride.
Looking for the
cheaper too.
The run to get out on that Chicago ice. So, guys, I guess we're going to kind of cut her down now and wish you all safe fishing. Hopefully we'll see you at a couple of the seminars coming up. And stay tuned.
Drop us a line if you got any questions.
Oh, yeah. The Askin' MIIs guy. We all really appreciate when you give us something to talk about. We've got answers. And
or if you want to fish.
Or if you want to fish, yeah.
Exactly.
I always want to fish.
Yeah, and his girlfriend won't go with him all the time.
Yeah.
She needs big prize money to get her out there.
It's changed a little bit, and that's now the fiance. You know?
Oh, yeah.
Upgrade.
Upgrade.
Yeah. Anything for tax money, right?
Did you bend a jig around her finger?
No. Way cheesier than that. You got to know me.
Right on. Okay, we're the MI Ice guys. We're going to head out and grab a bite to eat. Thanks for listening, guys, and stay in touch. Be safe out there.
MI Ice Guys would like to thank you for joining us once again for one of our podcasts. Be sure to subscribe on miiceguys.com so that you don't miss any of our tips and hear a little bit about our fishing stories. Be safe out there, guys, and enjoy the fishing. It may thaw soon.